you want to take just a moment to ask the Lord to bless His Word going forth and as we go to the table? I remind you again. In fact, let me go ahead and tell you ahead of time with this. Parents, if you have smaller kids, you need to tell them that this is not for them. This is, if you are saved and walking with God, and it's his table. We'll go through a little bit more of the instructions as we go there. But it's something that He takes very, very seriously. Because we did a little bit longer on the Bible reading part, this is squeezed down, and all of it works out. But not squeezed down. It's just that we have a great section of Scripture that leads to His table. God is full of illustrations about Himself in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, actually in nature from time to time. And so we've got a great one today. I said, Lord, I pray that You will bless Your Word going forth. I pray You'll calm our hearts, that You'll put our focus on You. I pray where there is repentance, that repentance will come forth. And I pray where there is just a need to thank You, that You will create in us hearts that are thankful. We pray You'll be honored and glorified in what we do. We commit this to You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Genesis chapter 22 this morning. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you have them. Genesis chapter 22 is where we will start with this. Critics of the Bible, this is one of the main chapters. When people read the Bible and they read the first two verses out of Genesis chapter 22. Look what it says in reference to this. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he, Abraham, says, Here I am. And he, God, says, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. How could God be so horribly cruel? When you go back through the story, you understand that Abraham and Sarah are childless. It is not until they are later in the year that they finally have a son, Isaac. And now the son that they have prayed for, longed for, been promised by God, God says, take now your son, your only son whom you love, and kill him. Now we get to find out elsewhere what Abraham was thinking, because elsewhere in Scripture it says that Abraham was certain that God would raise the dead. And Abraham, everything about this is that Abraham, I mean, put yourself in a situation, those of us who are parents, take your child. If you had one child, take your child and go to a specific place and kill that child. How could God be so cruel to do this? Now, just by way briefly of reminder of where we've been, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, If you believed Moses, you would believe me, because Moses wrote about me. We have seen elsewhere that the Old Testament is the story of Jesus. I know we have had people out on vacation and elsewhere. Some were not with us last week. If you will, peek over just real briefly to chapter 16 of Genesis, just by way of leading in and a brief review. In chapter 16, we meet an interesting individual. We meet the angel of the Lord. The first time that the angel of the Lord, with a definite article, the angel of the Lord shows up. It's in chapter 16. That this is when Hagar has left the fold, so to speak, because of the treatment that she received from Sarai, who becomes Sarah a little bit later on. Chapter 16, verse 7, Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from? and where are you going? And she says, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord, second time, verse 9, said, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Now look at verses 10 and following. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of his brothers. Then she called the name of the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God who sees, and again in the Hebrew this is Elroy. For she says, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? And so the angel of the Lord is an interesting individual. He shows up in the Old Testament only, not in the New Testament. And he speaks as God, and he acts as God, and he does things that only God does. You can go there on your own if you want to and check this out. We were there last week. We won't go back to this. It is the angel of the Lord who calls to Moses from the burning bush. And Moses turns aside to look at God and didn't want to look at God. And so which is it? Is the angel of the Lord or is it God in the burning bush? And the answer is yes. And so think this one through. The second member of the Godhead will be born and become Jesus, but he's the second member of the Godhead. From time to time, he can step into his creation as he wants to. He can step into his creation before he is born. There is nothing that negates that. And so you're going to have the angel of the Lord making promises that only God can do, doing things that only God can do. And I'll remind you that once Jesus is born, never again does the angel of the Lord show up. And so with that background, look at chapter 22 of Genesis as we come there. In chapter 22, look at what it says with this. We'll start in verse 3. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and we will worship and return to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Don't you know this is just ripping Abraham's heart to do this? When Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he says, here I am, my son. He says, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This is not a baby. This is not a toddler. This is a lad in a sense, probably teenage years, possibly a little bit younger. But this lad is able to converse. This lad is able to understand that there's a burnt offering, that there's supposed to be a lamb. Crush Abraham. I remember it crushed me when we just had tubes put in our daughter's ears when she was little. And I held her head. About kill me to do this. That it was always so interesting to me. When our children got hurt, they would run to Betsy. And when they were fearful, they would run to me. Almost without exception. They get hurt, I'd squat down around Dad. Let's go find Mom. And when they get fearful, forget Mom. Let's go find Dad. He's got more mass to him than she does. And perhaps he is able to help us out a little bit more. And I remember Lauren being in the room. And again, the ear procedure is a relatively minor thing. But they put that ether, which smells like fingernail polish. When I had my tonsils out, so I remember the thing done. And Lauren didn't want it on her mouth at all. And so I stood there and held her head still. And she took her eyes from there, these wide eyes of fear. And she looked at me, how can you do this? And it about broke my heart. Betsy went out of the room crying. It about broke my heart to do this. But I can do this for a better good. By God's grace, I can do this by strength because this is necessary. Don't you think that Abraham would have that with Isaac? When Isaac, I mean, it's interesting when he says, you know, he's walking with his father. Why don't you just say, Dad, where are we going? He says, Father. Abraham says, I'm here. Because he probably has enough wood on him that he is bent over just a little bit. Not able to turn back and converse. Wants to make sure that everything is right. Father. Verse 7. My father, he says, here I am, my son. He says, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together, and they came to a place which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac. I'm going to play this one back on the heavenly VCR. Wouldn't that be rich to see? Was Isaac willing? Did God do a work so that Isaac didn't run away? Did Abraham have to coerce him in any way at all? We don't know. It just says that he bound him. And he places him on the altar. Now look at verse 11. For those of you who mark your Bibles, look at this. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. This is the same, the angel of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 16, this is the second member of the Godhead. The angel of the Lord, verse 11, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he says, here I am. And he says, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now remember the predetermined plan and the foreknowledge of God. God knows exactly what he's going to do. Abraham did not. God knew that Isaac was not going to die that death, but Abraham did not have that information. It is the predetermined plan and the foreknowledge of God. If you believed Moses, you would believe me because Moses wrote about me. There are two items that we often overlook that are so important in understanding what God is doing here. And so look at what it says in verse 8. Abraham says, God will provide for himself the lamb. And then look at this in verse 13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Now notice what it says with this. God said, or Abraham says, God will provide a lamb. Technically speaking, God did not. He provided a ram. And there's a difference. Because it is not going to be until the fullness of time that the second member of the Godhead will be born of a woman and be born under the law. It is not going to be until the incarnation that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The ram was temporary. Until John the Baptist announced, behold, in John chapter 1, Verse 29, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's important. It was a temporary substitute until the real Lamb of God would come. Boy, this thing is just laden with biblical symbolism, isn't it? Take now your son, your only son whom you love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Starting to see some parallels here. Now the second one with this, we usually miss. We generally think in terms when we read this. If we are parents, or even if you're not, we think in terms of how it would be to be Abraham and to have to sacrifice Isaac. And so we miss what really took place. The Godhead stops Abraham But the Godhead doesn't stop the story not farther along down the road, further along down the road. Because we're not Abraham in this picture. We are Isaac. We are Isaac who is on the altar. And we have every right to be killed by God. Physically for the sins that we have done, eternally for the sins that we have done. You know what the angel of the Lord did? He stops Abraham. You know what else he did? He turns over that position to God the Father. And wonder of wonders, Jesus took Isaac's place. Died in place of Isaac. Died in place of me. Died in place of anybody who will receive him for salvation. How could God be so cruel? How could God be so merciful? And it is called grace upon grace upon grace. We are coming to the Lord's table. If you are going to partake of the Lord's table today, if you're going to do that, you are making a public declaration that you see yourself in Isaac's position with the full wrath of the Father to come down. And you have asked somebody to take your place. And his name is Jesus. If you are going to partake of the Lord's table, you have to be born again.